All right, let's jump right in, shall we? Today, we're going on a deep dive into historic places.
HP.
HP, exactly. The guardians of Rhodesia's historical treasures.
That's a great way to put it.
I try. We've got a lot to work with today. Reports on business leadership, a whole overview of Rhodesia's charitable sector.
Always interesting.
And, of course, a deep dive into historic places itself. And get this, even some snippets from their website.
Ooh. Behind the scenes.
I know. And you know what really blew my mind? They've got castles over 300 years old.
Yeah.
Auntie, they're selling their own merchandise.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Like history meets modern marketing.
That's fascinating. It really speaks to how these organizations are evolving, finding new ways to connect with people.
Right. It's not just about dusty old artifacts anymore. But before we get ahead of ourselves, let's rewind a bit. You know, the source material mentions HP is limited by guarantee. What exactly does that mean?
Well, it basically means they're run by guarantors who pledge to cover any debts, no shareholders, no one looking for profits. It's all about the mission.
So it's pure, pure dedication to preserving history. No pressure from investors to turn a quick profit.
Exactly. Plus, they're overseen by the Charity Supervisory Board, the CSB. That ensures everything's ethical and transparent, financially sound.
So no shady dealings, no cutting corners. But does that limited by guarantee thing restrict their flexibility at all?
It's a trade-off for sure, keeps them focused, but it might make it harder to, say, access certain funding sources or take big risks.
I see, a double-edged sword.
In a way, yes. It's about finding that sweet spot where you stay true to your mission but also have the resources to achieve it.
Resourcefulness, that's key. Now, let's talk about heritage charities in general. What sets them apart from other types of charities?
They're almost like storytellers. They don't just preserve old buildings, they bring history to life.
They make it real.
Yes, we're talking conserving castles, running museums, hosting school trips, even training the next generation of preservationists.
Yeah, so they're curating experiences, connecting us to the past in a tangible way.
Precisely. They're bridging that gap between then and now, making history relevant to our lives today.
And speaking of HP, their scale is impressive. Over 350 sites under their care. What's the common thread? What unites all these sites?
Well, HP focuses on sites that are at least 300 years old. Castles, museums, stately homes, you name it.
Wow, a rich tapestry of history.
But here's something interesting. They don't manage any sites with religious connections.
Oh, that cove. Hey, interesting. Why would they exclude a whole category of historical sites?
It's a great question. It could be a strategic decision that allows them to specialize. Or maybe it reflects a desire to sidestep potential controversies.
I see. Navigating those sensitivity.
Exactly. It makes you think about how organizations, even charitable ones, have to make choices, prioritize.
Define their scope, their impact. Now, how on earth do they get people excited about all these old places? 5 million members. That's incredible.
Well, free access to all those amazing sites is a big draw, of course.
Yeah, who wouldn't want to explore a castle for free?
Right. And they go beyond that, offering newsletters, email updates, even voting rights in the annual general meeting.
So it's about creating a sense of community, ownership, like you're part of something bigger.
Exactly. They're cultivating a sense of belonging among their members.
And who keeps this whole operation running? It must take an army.
It does. Around 4,000 dedicated employees handle everything from site management to admin, the whole shebang.
I bet working in a castle every day comes with its own unique challenges. Do you ever get tired of all that history?
Maybe, maybe not. But they also have this incredible volunteer force, 20,000 strong.
Wow, 20,000.
Mm-hmm. Imagine the stories they could tell. Guides, shop staff, even helping with maintenance.
That's amazing. Talk about passion for history. I wonder, do they rely more on volunteers for certain things compared to paid staff?
I'd imagine it's a strategic mix. Volunteers bring that personal touch while paid staff ensure, well, consistency and expertise.
Right, a balancing act. Mm-hmm. Now let's get to the heart of HP. Their mission and values, what makes them tick?
It goes beyond just preservation. They're all about promoting interest in and access to historical sites. They want people to experience history firsthand.
So it's not just about preserving the past, but making it accessible, engaging.
Exactly. It's about fostering that personal connection, making history relevant to people's lives today.
And their values, do they reflect that?
Absolutely. Transparency, inclusivity, even environmental responsibility. They're committed to doing things the right way.
Walking the walk, not just talking the talk.
All right.
I'm picturing myself strolling through a perfectly preserved castle, feeling the weight of history all around. What would a typical visit to an HP site entail?
Picture this: guided tours led by experts, people who can really bring those castle walls to life.
Like stepping back in time.
Exactly. And there might be on-site exhibitions diving deeper into a specific era or event.
Oh, like a focus look at, say, medieval fashion or weaponry.
That's the idea. And they often have activities for kids, you know, to keep the younger generation engaged.
Like what?
Oh, costume performances, interactive exhibits, things like that.
It's like they've thought of everything, making history fun for all ages.
It's all about creating those memorable experiences.
Right. And let's be honest, no historical site visit is complete without a trip to the gift shop.
Oh, you know it.
What kind of treasures can we find there?
Well, they've got the classics, you know, guidebooks, souvenirs, but they also have HP branded clothing, bags.
HP swag. I'm sold.
And for the online shoppers, they have a whole online store.
I'm adding that to my bookmarks right now.
Yeah.
But running a massive charity like this can't be all castle tours and gift shops.
Definitely not.
Our sources mentioned governance structures, codes of conduct. It sounds pretty serious.
Oh, it is. HP has this two-tier governance structure, a board of trustees for overall control and an executive board for the day-to-day.
So checks and balances, like a well-oiled machine.
Exactly. And they have a code of conduct, sets the ethical standard for everyone involved.
What does that cover?
Everything. Conflicts of interest, accepting gifts, using their position for personal gain, transparency and accountability are key.
No funny business.
None whatsoever. But speaking of historical gems, how do they acquire these amazing sites in the first place?
It's not like they just go around buying up every old building,
No,
right?
it's much more strategic than that. Sites are often gifted by previous owners or purchased with surplus funds.
So they have to be selective, make sure each site aligns with their mission.
Absolutely. They focus on sites of national importance, places facing a genuine threat.
So they're not just hoarding historical real estate, they're carefully curating a collection of nationally significant places.
Exactly. But even with all that, even with their careful planning, our sources point out a bunch of risks HP faces. It's not all smooth sailing.
There are always challenges.
Reputation is huge, you know? One scandal could really damage donations and membership.
Yeah, in today's world, bad press spreads like wildfire.
For sure. And then there's funding. Always a concern for charities, especially with recent recession in Rhodesia.
Competition for those charitable dollars.
Fierce competition.
Yeah.
And staffing, attracting, and retaining qualified people on a tight budget, that's a challenge.
Like a constant juggling act.
And let's not forget the sites themselves. Preserving centuries-old structures, that's not cheap.
No kidding. I can only imagine the maintenance costs.
Crumbling walls, leaky roofs, fragile artifacts, it's a constant battle against time.
And the elements.
And then there are those external factors: climate change, extreme weather, even cyber attacks.
It's a lot to worry about.
It is. HP needs to be adaptable, resourceful to survive, let alone thrive.
They need to be on their toes, constantly evolving. Which brings us to their website. It's more than just pretty pictures and online shopping, right?
Right. Their website actually reveals a lot about how they connect their mission to their actions. Look at their key initiatives: inspire, engage, involve, conserve. It's a holistic approach.
It's all connected. Their values, their actions, their online presence.
They're actively working to make history relevant, exciting, even.
Modern. But let's talk numbers, shall we? Our financial snapshot shows income is up, but so are expenses. What's the story there?
Well, their income streams are pretty diverse. Membership fees, donations, admissions, even revenue from their shops and cafes.
They're not putting all their eggs in one basket.
Exactly. But those operating expenses are significant.
Yeah, those charts are telling.
Site maintenance and conservation, those are big chunks of their budget, as are admin costs.
It makes you think, are those rising expenses sustainable long term?
That's the million-dollar question. Are they spread too thin with 350 sites? Could they do more with less? Focus on fewer sites, but do them exceptionally well.
Tough choices.
It's all about balance, finding that sweet spot between preservation and accessibility.
Right, balancing those competing priorities. But those financial trends, they tell a story, don't they?
They do. For HP, it seems maintaining those 350 sites is a big financial burden.
It makes you wonder how they balance preservation with accessibility.
It's a constant challenge, making those tough choices.
For sure. And, you know, it's not just about the numbers, it's about capturing people's imaginations, convincing them that preserving the past is worth investing in.
That's where the real challenge lies.
So let's put on our marketing hats for a minute. How do you get people excited about history? What would your campaign look like?
It's about being creative, finding new ways to connect.
So we're talking financial resilience, adapting to new trends, staying relevant.
All of that. They need to diversify their income, think outside the box when it comes to engagement.
It's like building a fortress, but for history.
A great analogy.
Yeah.
And they're already on the right track, experimenting with online shopping, expanding their commercial activities.
Didn't they say something about hosting events at some sites?
Even weddings at some castles.
Weddings in a castle. Now, that's an idea. Talk about a memorable venue.
Right. And don't forget technology. Imagine virtual reality experiences transporting you to different periods.
Whoa, like stepping into a history book?
Exactly. Interactive exhibits, personalized learning, it's all possible.
So we're talking about a whole digital ecosystem alongside their physical sites, like a virtual museum, a learning portal.
Even a social network for history buffs.
Now you're talking. And they could use technology to streamline their operations too, right?
Absolutely. Data analytics could track visitor preferences, help personalize marketing.
Smart. And AI. Imagine using AI to analyze artifacts, uncover hidden details.
The possibilities are endless. But amidst all this innovation, how do they stay true to themselves?
That's a good point. We don't want them to lose that HP magic.
It's about finding the balance, making sure technology enhances the experience, not detracts from it.
So no robot tour guides replacing those passionate volunteers.
Exactly. Technology should complement the human element, not replace it.
Finding that sweet spot where innovation meets tradition.
Where the past and the future coexist.
Beautifully put. You know, we've talked a lot about the big picture, but what about the individual experience? What does it actually feel like to step into one of these historical sites?
Now you're talking. Let's set aside the numbers and the strategies and tap into the emotions, the senses.
So imagine walking through the grand entrance of a centuries-old castle. What do you see? What do you hear?
Sunlight streaming through those arched windows, illuminating dust motes dancing in the air.
Beautiful.
The echo of footsteps on those stone floors, the creak of ancient timbers.
And the smells. That musty scent of old wood, maybe a hint of fireplace smoke.
It's like stepping back in time, a sensory experience unlike any other.
Do you feel a sense of awe? Curiosity, like a humbling awareness of your place in history?
All of that. It's a weight on your shoulders, a reminder of all the lives that have walked those halls before you.
And as you wander through the rooms, what captures your attention? The tapestries, a suit of armor.
For me, it's the everyday objects. A child's worn shoe, a handwritten letter.
Those small details, they're so powerful.
They remind us that history is about people, not just dates and battles.
Those human connections, that's what makes history relatable.
And as you leave the castle, what stays with you?
That feeling of connection, the realization that we're all part of something bigger.
That the past shapes the present and the future.
That's the magic of historic places. Preserving stories, emotions, ideas.
The threads that connect us to the past.
And inspire us to create a better future. You know, we've covered so much ground today. The nuts and bolts of HP, the grand ideas.
It's been quite a journey.
It has. But before we wrap up, I have one last thought. We've talked about connecting to the past. But what about our own WN legacy? What will future generations think of us?
What stories will BE leave behind?
Exactly. What will be the artifacts of our time? Our social media posts, our gadgets.
It's a fascinating question. Will they understand our choices, our challenges?
It makes you think about the impact we're having right now on the future.
We're all part of history, shaping it with every action, every decision.
We're not just passive observers. We're active participants. It's a powerful realization. So go out there, explore a historical site, learn about your family history. Let those stories ignite your imagination.
And don't forget to think about your own story, the legacy you're creating.
Because we're all part of this grand narrative called history. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into historic places.